And we're back.
What's up? Welcome to the Poser Podcast. As always, I'm Ian Campbell, and I'm here with
Benjamin Beam.
That's right. And it is just us tonight.
Yeah.
Nobody else.
Not even Gretchen. She went to bed.
She's gone to bed because it's 10 o'clock or 10:15 at night.
Yeah.
So getting a little late start on this one, but
yeah. How you doing, buddy?
Doing pretty good, man.
Yeah?
Yeah. I just got back from ski trip with with my youth group, so.
Colorado, huh?
Colorado. It was fun.
That's there's awesome. Was it pretty?
It was gorgeous. It was so gorgeous
out there. I love it out there.
Oh, those mountains, dude.
I love it in the mountains. I don't like it so much down on the ground.
Yeah.
Like the grass and stuff is just kind of like that, like tundra. It's not that pretty, but up in the mountains, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's God's country.
Yeah, we had an interesting trip though. We had I don't think I told you this, but I might have told you, but on the way up there, it's supposed to be like a 21 or 22 hour bus ride, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we drove, so it was a bus ride.
Oh man.
It ended up being a 33 hour bus ride.
Wow.
Yeah, because on the way up there, we ran into a blizzard or two in Kansas, and then...
Holy crap.
Yeah, and had to pull off the road for like 4 or 5 hours, and then a few times. And then when we finally got going, a truck had turned over in the road, so the road was blocked off. So we had our interesting trips.
So like an extra 10 hours?
Yeah, yeah. So we had an interesting trip up there, and then once we finally got there, there was a virus that was going around, and people started vomiting everywhere. It was crazy.
That's gross.
And then it's real gross. On the very last day, we had a kid break his wrist and another kid break his collarbone.
Man.
And then on the way
home. Did people pray on this trip?
Yeah, dude, a lot. And then on the way home, some people got sick on the last day, so there was like people throwing up on the bus and everything, and.
Man.
It was nuts, man. Luckily.
You and Gretchen didn't get sick? Again?
Yeah. Well, Gretchen, there's actually two different viruses going around.
Daggum.
Yeah, it was weird. Gretchen kind of, we think Gretchen got one of them, or she could have just been, there were some issues, some drama on the trip, and she was just like emotionally, physically, and just worn out. And I think she just kind of, she's kind of suffering from that because she spent one day at home or at the camp because she was feeling awful.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was interesting.
That's
but
interesting.
All that to say, some kids got saved, and you know, it was a lot of kids made some cool commitments.
Rock on.
So it was a great trip.
Did you do any skiing?
Oh yeah, bro.
That's cool.
Yeah, dude.
I've never been for serious skiing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, y'all did the cross-country
stuff. We did cross-country skiing.
In Russia.
I hated it. Yeah. Don't ever go cross-country skiing. It's like boring as poop.
So the scooting stuff?
Yeah, it's scooting.
Yeah.
And everybody else had traditional wooden skis, and they gave me the plastic skis. And I was like 8, and I was at the end of the line.
So you kept falling backwards?
With my feet sticking up in the air. Into like 2 feet of snow and no way to get up. And everybody else would just keep on going. I'd literally be there in the snow by myself with no way to get up for like 10 minutes.
You know,
so somebody would realize, Ben's gone, and come back and rescue me and laugh in my face.
So you guys don't have poles, yeah? When you
cross now you have
country.
Poles.
You have poles?
But with your feet sticking up in the air and you're buried in 2 feet of snow, poles don't do a whole heck of a lot of good. There's really nothing you can do at that point.
Yeah.
Because it's like having feet that are like 4.5 feet long.
Yeah.
It was embarrassing.
I learned that I ski better without poles. I went down a double black and halfway down, and this is my second time skiing, so personally I think I did pretty good. At least Daniel said I did good. I fell like 3 or 4 times. I think like three times. And then I was like, this sucks. And I ditched my poles, and I was fine the rest of the way down. I was like, come on. Wish I would have done that beforehand.
Yeah.
So.
That's cool.
Anyways, so do you remember this one time when we recorded this one podcast and then it just went away?
Yeah.
Forever.
And we almost threw up.
Yeah. That was a bad day, right?
Yeah.
What do you say we give that another shot?
Okay.
This time with the...
Yeah.
There's a good chance.
With good software.
We're going to make it through.
So that being said, I guess we should make sure everybody knows that we're not going to try to recreate past that conversations. Podcast, yeah. And I mean, the material will be the same because it's still us talking about the same subject.
Still not the same feelings about it.
Yeah. And we haven't changed our opinions in 2 weeks.
No.
But just so you guys know, we're not going to try to like recreate some kind of magic.
Yeah. It's not going to sound scripted or anything. So.
Yeah. And then I said, blah, 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 blah. So, music.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
This is a broad topic.
Yeah. But we are hailing from Memphis, Tennessee.
Yes, we are.
So I feel like we have a right to talk about music.
Absolutely.
If anybody has a right to talk about music.
Our city has affected music in...
Yeah.
In an incredible way, which a lot of people don't realize. Everybody's like I was talking to a guy in Colorado. I was on a ski lift with him. He's like, "Where are you from?" I was like, "I'm Memphis, Tennessee." He's like, "That's where Elvis is from, right?"
That's what everybody says.
I was like, "Yes, it is." And he was like, "That's y'all's crowning achievement?" I was like, "Not quite.
Not really."
I was like,
"How about everybody?"
Yeah. I was like, "That's one of them, but there's a lot of music history in Memphis. A lot of people don't realize. Just we always get credit for Elvis. I mean, because he did change music in a big way, but he wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
So, and that's not the only thing that's come out of Memphis. Yeah.
Well, the thing that gets me is like people that aren't from Memphis think that Nashville is the music capital of the world and of America, which granted...
A lot of music stuff goes on there.
I mean, yeah. That's without a doubt. Because that's where the business, that's where the music business is.
Yeah.
But the music itself, the heart of it, actually came from Memphis, launched out of Memphis, but ultimately coming from Mississippi and Arkansas and East Texas and the Delta.
Yeah. Like the book you gave me tonight.
Yeah. Because Memphis, as everybody knows, is the home of the blues.
Yes.
And the blues came from the Mississippi Delta.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And did you know that on Bill Street, being assuming that we have listeners that don't live in Memphis, Bill Street being the one of the coolest parts or one of the biggest tourist attractions in Memphis.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to go to Beale. Don't really know why. It's where all the bars are, I guess.
In history and stuff.
Yeah, there's some cool history there. But one of that two-story, it's now a gift shop, but it was an old store that, I mean, it used to be like a kind of like a grocery store kind of thing. They sell, what is it, 48s, 38s? The like the singles, like the record singles.
The records?
Of old school blues.
Oh, nice.
Singles. Yeah, dude. Like old school blues singles. Yeah, I want to get them all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
That's awesome.
Yeah. But.
Well, to those of you who don't know and aren't familiar, I'm not an expert by any means. Everything that I say about the blues comes from a class that I took, which was the Anthropology of Blues Culture. I took about 2 years ago, I guess. And I learned a lot. And honestly, like before I took this class, I didn't really care for the blues that much. It was like, this is kind of weird music. I just don't. I always kind of associated blues with like Chicago and Detroit, which there are good reasons for that, as I'll probably talk about later. But like, I was just like, you know, it's kind of got a cool feel to it, but I don't really get into it. But my teacher, even though he was a crazy guy, and I didn't really care for his class, he loved the blues with every ounce of his being.
Those are, I feel like those are always the best teachers.
Yeah, yeah. Because his method of teaching wasn't the best, but he knew his stuff.
Yeah.
Enough to just kind of pass on the beauty and the feel of it to us. And I fell in love with the blues in that class. And so basically, you and I have obviously talked about this before.
Yeah.
But we're, never mind. The grandfather of the blues, essentially, is Robert Johnson.
Yeah.
Coming from Mississippi Delta. And his stuff is incredible. It just, I've got a couple of his old songs on my iPod. And it sounds, his music, his guitar is all out of tune. And it just sounds kind of crappy. But the things that he did with it were incredible. And he's actually reported, like, rumor has it that when he would record, he first started recording, and I can't remember, I know I should know, but I can't remember who found him, quote unquote, and started recording records of him. But he at least at first, he would put the microphone in the corner of the room and then turn his stool and face the corner so nobody could see him playing the guitar. Nobody could see how he was playing it.
Nobody could see what he was doing.
Yeah. So it was like he was making his juju over there in the corner on his guitar, and nobody could see what he was doing.
So nobody could take his juju.
Yeah, man. But anyway, so from there you get people like Muddy Waters.
Yeah.
And, you know, a whole host of blues guys coming out of the Delta through Memphis. And then you had the black migration up into Detroit and Chicago and all those places because that's where all the jobs were. You know, after World War II, you know, previously before the war, before World War II, black people worked the farms in the Delta, and they didn't know. I mean, you could spend your whole life and not leave, you know, a certain amount of square mileage, which is crazy to me. But, then in the war, they're allowed to fight for their country, and they get to see Europe, and they get to see the world, and then they come back and are expected to be content living on their farm.
Yeah.
And they weren't.
Yeah.
And all the jobs are up in Chicago and Detroit and stuff. So you to this day, you go up to Chicago and you tell people you're from Mississippi, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I got relatives down there."
Yeah.
And that was terrible impression of a black person. I apologize. But anyway.
Oh my god.
We might just edit that out.
Yeah.
So yeah. I feel like I'm rambling. But Memphis.
Yeah.
Home of the blues. Mississippi, home of America's music.
I agree.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't understand like the effect that Memphis has had on the music industry.
Yeah.
They underestimate it by far, for sure. But like, I mean, then there's one, like, just like, I think, I don't know how many, I can't remember. Memphis knows. Memphis told me, Memphis Jones, everyone. If you don't know him, go follow him on Twitter. @TheMemphisJones.
Awesome guy.
Awesome guy. Check out his website, MemphisJones.com. He's a Memphis historian and a very good friend of ours.
Yeah. He's got an interview on
Choose901.
Choose901.com. Yeah.
And if you don't know what Choose901.com is, we've just befriended them on Twitter recently. But they've done some pieces on two of my friends now. One, Chris Leip, who's a tattoo artist.
Dippy,
yeah. Who's a tattoo artist at Inked Memphis in Minglewood. Good. They do good work. They've done work on
I love Minglewood.
Before. Me too, man.
That's Memphis history right there.
Yeah, Strings and Things, now Minglewood. But Memphis, he's told me everything I know about Memphis, about the city Memphis, my friend Memphis Jones has told me about. So if you want to learn about the city Memphis, you should go to memphisjones.com and or watch his first watch his Choose 901 video and watch the rest of the Choose 901 videos because they have a lot about Memphis. They are very, I mean, it's
they
called
do
Choose
901.
Yeah. And it's fantastic. So look them up. Did you know, fun fact about Memphis, we're actually going to talk about music after this, you know, more than just Memphis.
Yeah.
You know who Big Star is?
No.
It's a band, Ben.
Okay.
It's a great band.
Okay.
They wrote a song. Oh, well, I don't remember what it's called, though.
That's nice.
Yeah. But if you heard it, you would immediately recognize it. Have you ever watched That 70s Show?
Bits and pieces. Yeah.
I think I said Big Star, right?
I don't know.
Oh, well, I'm pretty sure it's Big Star. They wrote a song a long time ago. They're in Memphis, recorded it here in Memphis. It's a Memphis dude who wrote it, I'm pretty sure. I could be screwing all this information up.
It's cool.
But,
once again, no research, folks.
Exactly. just going off memory here. The Blackhawks are killing right now. Yeah, but he wrote a song. Sorry, it's my fridge. And we're going to cut this part out because I can't remember the name of the band. Not Sister Hazel. Twisted Sister. Okay. Big Star wrote a song. I believe it was Twisted Sister who covered it for a neat little show called That 70s Show. And, you know, the hanging out. That song?
Mm-hmm.
Memphis song.
Nice.
And now... you start singing that song, everybody knows what that song is. I mean, they associated it with,
yeah,
you know, That 70s Show, but
yeah,
that's a Memphis tune.
Yeah.
And people around the world, but at least in this nation, know that song
that's
from that
awesome.
Show. So everybody
and
knows
also,
Memphis
just
tune.
To clarify, I guess, what I was saying earlier, because I feel like we've talked about this so much in the past that it goes without saying, but I guess I didn't make my point clear before. Why Memphis is the home of America's music and Memphis/Mississippi is not just because of the blues, because you could be like, well, what if I don't like the blues? But it's because the blues led to rock and roll. Rock and roll is a direct descendant
of the blues.
The blues and country western had a baby.
Yeah.
And they named that baby rock and roll. Still don't know who said that. But it's a quote from a blues musician.
That's perfect.
Yeah. Because for a lot of reasons, but you got like the British invasion, mm-hmm. you know, in the 60s and stuff. A lot of those guys, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones, they're British, right?
The Stones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
Eric Clapton's got an album called Me and Mr. Johnson, and it's him on the cover posing like the famous picture of Robert Johnson, and he's covering Robert Johnson's stuff. It's awesome.
Perfect.
I have that album. It's amazing. You should hear it.
Oh, man, I should. Oh.
Yeah.
Eric Clapton.
I'll give it to you legally. Wink, wink. No, but yeah, the British invasion, like they... The blues was underground music in the States. Just being frank, because it was black music. And this is in the 50s and 60s and previously, even in the 30s and 40s. And it was underground. It was the kind of stuff that white kids would listen to in their bedrooms with the radio, you know, when their parents, you know, thought they were, you know, doing homework or whatever. It was underground. And then you had Elvis. And one of the primary reasons Elvis got big, I mean, yeah, he's talented. I like Elvis.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bash Elvis. I'm not the biggest fan, but he was cool.
And he changed the music.
Yeah.
In a big way.
But he was a white boy playing black music.
Yeah.
That's why he became so big.
Yeah.
Because he made the medium acceptable, the genre acceptable,
yeah,
to a class that had previously considered it, yeah, unacceptable. And then you have the British invasion with all those guys, and they would come over to the States and they'd be like, where's so-and-so? You know, where's, you know, Muddy Waters, for example, whoever, and people would be like,
who's that?
Who? And they're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
These guys are right here, you know, making incredible music. And they were just shocked to find out that some of these guys were still sharecroppers on a farm down in the Delta, you know, living out of a shack, making this incredible music.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I feel like I've talked too much, but that's why, is because Memphis, as the home of the blues, is the home of rock and roll. You can disagree with me if you want, but there's plenty of proof.
You can trace it back. It's not like he's making stuff up.
Yeah. Not pulling this out of my you know what.
So yeah. I guess we can just move away from
Memphis.
From talking about Memphis, because I mean I can go on, but
yeah.
Because I love,
we need
my
to do
city,
just
so.
A Memphis podcast.
Yeah. And have Memphis on.
Oh.
Be awesome.
All hail.
Dude. We'd just be like, okay, 1, 2, 3, go. And then just let him talk the whole time. So
yeah.
In fact, that's what we're gonna do. I just decided.
Yep.
But
mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of reallys, a lot of mhms.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But yeah, music. So, Ian, why do you love music?
Ben, I'm glad you asked that question. I live and breathe music mainly in a big way, which we've talked about this before back in the day. Had many conversations about this.
Yep.
Music fascinates me so much because if just for the fact that it's older than we are. Like, I've had this theory for a long time, which we talked about before, and we talked about on the Lost episode. But one of the reasons why I love leading worship so much is because of this view of my view of music. So if anybody's listening to this and has either seen me lead worship or seen me up there with whoever leading worship week after week, it's because of this that I do that, and that why I get so much joy out of it, and why, you know, I love being a part of it. It's because music has been around long before humans were around. It's older than we are, and I feel like it's closer to God than we are, at least at this point right now. Because before there were humans, the angels existed with God in heaven. And a lot of people believe that, which I don't know if it says this in the Bible or not, but there's a wide belief that Lucifer was kind of like the worship leader in heaven. He was like the music director or whatever. Yeah. So there was music in heaven. They were worshiping God in heaven with music, like we do now. I mean, it's probably a lot better, but a lot prettier. But music is an eternal thing, because, like I said, it was here before we were. It's going to be here after we go away, and when we're with God in heaven. So getting to be a part of something that has, one, that's been going on long before any human has ever existed, two, that's been going on in the presence of God since before I was created. Getting to be a part of something like that, experience something like that, just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Like, I've been blessed with these abilities that God's given me to, you know, this natural talent for music. why on earth would I not use that to worship God? Why would I not use that amazing opportunity that God's given me to you know, harness? I don't want to say harness, because you can't really harness music. You just kind of take what's already been there direct for a while and direct it a certain way.
Yeah.
Kind of mold it to shape what you want it to say. Why would I waste that opportunity, man? Like, that's amazing. But why would I waste that opportunity? You know, like, I get to partake in music and in worshiping God through an eternal thing. Like, yeah. It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
And I don't care. Like, I mean, I've heard people's, you know, when people talk about the beginning of music and stuff like that, like, you could trace it back to as far as you can, you know, or whatever, when music was invented or whatever. I don't think music was invented.
Right.
It was discovered.
Right. Absolutely.
It's already, all the notes that make up our scales and,
yeah,
and the rules and regulations that you know, work, that make, yeah, music work, aren't rules and regulations that we made up. It's rules and regulations that we discovered.
Yeah.
This music worked a certain way. It's always worked a certain way, and it will always work a certain way.
Yeah.
We just kind of figured out how, or we were shown how, yeah, that works.
Yeah.
And,
well, and two, we put a name to it. Like, I don't consider myself a musician, you know, mm-hmm, like, I appreciate music, but I appreciate it, I think, sometimes, I don't know, I guess as an outsider, sort of, I appreciate it in some respects more aesthetically than a musician does.
Yeah.
I know that's a big assumption, because most serious hardcore musicians, you know, like you, like, eat, breathe, and sleep music.
Yeah.
And so they appreciate the feel and the aesthetics more than I do. Mm-hmm. But I feel like sometimes, like with everything, sometimes having the head knowledge kind of blocks you a little, yeah, bit from the aesthetics. And like, for me, the way I see it is that it's like math. Like, 1 + 1 = 2 long before we ever called it addition.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all these things, we didn't invent math. We discovered math.
Math, yeah.
And we gave them terms. We gave them names. You know, we gave numbers.
Put a frame around it.
Yeah, we started calling them certain things just so we had a frame of reference, so we had something we could work with, a vocabulary. Yeah.
A map,
exactly. And that's the same thing we did with music. Music was music.
Yeah.
Since before we knew what to call it.
Yeah.
Thing, like, okay, this is what I love about music, is that it's vibrations.
Compression waves, yeah.
Yeah, it's just compression waves. It's, yeah, air coming, you know, from inside, through your larynx, out, you know, over your tongue, out your teeth and your lips, and coming out, you know, if you're singing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or, you know, and other things. It's just, it's vibration. Something hits something, or something moves something, and, yeah, it makes it's compression waves.
Shakes the air.
It shakes it. It's, everything starts vibrating.
Yeah.
And I just love that, because it's like, this whole universe has been doing that since before we got here.
Oh, man.
Like you talked about. And like, we just put a name to it, you know, like, yeah, music theory. You know, sometimes music theory people, I think, get so wrapped up in the theory,
yeah,
that they forget these sounds, these notes, these chords,
yeah,
were here. We, yeah, didn't invent this. We're just tapping into something,
yeah,
that happens.
Yeah.
It's not like we say, well, you know, I make this happen. It just happens when you do XYZ.
Yeah.
You're tapping into something. You're tapping, yeah, into a phenomena.
Yeah.
And the fact that we call it chords and, yeah, notes, and we have measures, and we have all the sheet music, is just a map. It's just, yeah, a formula that we have to chart
to help you navigate it.
What is just there.
Yeah. Which is awesome. Instruments, when it comes to instruments, like, even that aspect of it, instruments are a map to lead you to what's already there. Someone,
yeah,
heard a sound, someone heard a noise, which we've called a note.
Yeah.
And they said, how can I recreate that note? How can I make that?
Yeah.
So they, you know, put tension on a piece of a metal string or nylon or whatever came first, plucked it and was like, that makes that noise.
That makes what I want it to make.
That makes the sound I want it to make. The sound was there. The note was there long before the instrument was. We just kind of built a frame around it to be like, okay, well, this will make that noise now.
Yeah.
So this can make what I want to hear.
Well, like, speaking of the blues, a lot of these blues guys, a lot of them, started when they were kids. What they used to do, I forget what it was called, but what they used to do is they would put one nail, like, behind the shack, behind the shotgun house.
Uh-huh.
You'd have one nail on the wall, and then one, like, high up on the wall, and another nail down in the bottom, and have a string from, you know, connected to the nails, and then you'd pluck them. Or if you had one, you'd get like a glass bottleneck and start rubbing on it and plucking it at different sections.
Yeah.
And that was how they discovered how to make music. As simplistic as it is, that's all they had.
Yeah.
And they did incredible things with it.
Yeah. Yeah, dude.
It's just, it's tapping into what's already there.
What's already there, what's already been made, and what's already been going on long before we started making instruments and started recording stuff and doing all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like me and you, like I said in the last time we recorded this, like we have many times have just, you know, on the way home from, you know, theater or something, just turn the radio off, roll the windows down, and listen to what God's creation, how God's creation worships him without, you know, without human interruption, like
not having to talk about it, just
not, just listening to it. Like these sounds, and it's so cool to be able to like if you look at percussion, stuff like that, like I said this in the last time, like you look at percussion and stuff like cymbals, that I don't know if you've ever heard trees on a windy night, but they sound an awful lot like cymbals.
Yeah.
Like you can trace these instruments and these notes and these things to creation.
And the wind is like strings, you know?
Yeah. And it's so cool. Like sometimes I feel like because we've made guitars and because we've, you know, gotten all these instruments and put all these rules and frames and maps around what music really is, we've kind of lost the essence of music.
We formalized it.
Yeah. But it's there. It's still there. And it's, that's just awesome
it's
to me.
It's really cool.
Like the same thing that God created, the same tones and music and whole general feel to, you know, to music and to what we've labeled music is still there.
Yeah.
Like, so if you ever want to, I mean, I don't want to call it this being nostalgic because we weren't the first to experience it. But if you ever just want to get back to the basics of music, really, and which is where it started, you just turn off the radio and
go outside
and just listen. Yeah. Because the things that were worshiping God, the creation that was worshiping God before we were here, is still worshiping God.
Still doing it. Yeah.
And that's why, dude, I loved going when my mama lived down south.
Oh yeah, dude.
Going out to her house.
Yeah, man.
And just sitting outside at night in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, dude. It's
crickets,
it was amazing.
And bullfrogs. And,
exactly. And dude, I love it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, even animals, bro. Like, birds.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Like, they literally sing.
Yeah.
Literally.
They got songs.
They have songs.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, man. It's
awesome.
It's so cool. And the fact that I get to be a part of that.
Yeah.
It just blows my mind.
Yeah.
That's what makes me crazy when I'm on stage is the fact that when I'm up there, even when I'm sitting at home with my guitar in my hand and I'm worshiping God, or just singing in the car, no music, just singing in the car and I'm worshiping God, it's the fact that I'm doing something in that moment. I'm a part of something that's eternal, which I already am, but it's a physical thing. Like it's something that I'm physically a part of that has been going on since before we were here.
Well, and it's a cycle too. It's like you're tapping in, you're making yourself
Yeah.
A part of the cycle of receiving something that God created,
yeah,
tapping into it, and then giving it
and
back.
And giving
to
it
him.
Back. Yeah, dude.
So you're like putting yourself in the middle of this just incredible
stream. Just.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's beautiful.
I know, dude. It's amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's like what you talked about last time with the, what was it? Pencils. Yeah, like a guy that makes pencils or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you're like, imagine a guy that makes pencils. Like, that's what he does. He makes pencils. And he has these kids, and he gives his pencils to his kids.
Yeah, I remember this now.
And then they bring him, like, pictures that they've drawn and all these amazing works of art or, like, all these stories that they've written using his pencils. Like, imagine what that would feel like.
Yeah. If making pencils was, like, his one of, you know, his deal.
Yeah. Like he poured himself into every single one.
Making these pencils. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, dude, just the beauty and not just the man receiving what he received from his kids and the joy he gets from like this was made with the beautiful thing that I poured myself into, the thing that I made, this was made with those things, using those things.
Yeah.
Not only that, but it's the kids going, I made this with something that my father made for me. Like,
yeah,
he designed this for this purpose, and I got to be a part of it. I got to use what my dad made to, you know, to make this, and just to see what it's like to give it to him.
Yeah.
You know, that's what worship is. That's what worship through music is something that God poured so much of himself into.
Yeah.
And such something so amazing and beautiful that we're so constantly surrounded by it. And half of us don't even realize we got to take part of that. We get to take part of that and just kind of shape it into something that matches our personality and something that, you know, like that we get to kind of put our spin on it and put it, kind of mold it to fit us and then give it back to him and just be like, you know, this, you gave this to me and I want to give it back.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I did with it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's incredible.
It's so cool.
It's awesome. And I think like that's probably why, not just with the music, but with every part of our lives, but I guess music is one of the ways that it's most evident. But I guess that's why like scripture time and time again talks about giving thanks, you know, give thanks to the Lord, give thanks to the Lord for he is good, you know, like thank him. And it's because it's like, it's that.
Yeah.
It's just, I think there are a few things in this world that God enjoys more than when we recognize that everything we have comes from him.
Yeah.
Like when we stop and realize that every good thing that we have is a direct gift from him.
Yeah.
And then we choose to recognize that, and then we choose to glorify him with that. We choose to thank him with everything that he's given us. You know, from his perspective, like what greater feeling could there be than that? You know, like, thank you for recognizing that I gave this to you and then using it to love me. And it just becomes this cycle of love and of give and take and give and take.
Yeah.
And that's relationship. That's intimacy.
Yeah.
With God of the universe.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think like, again, something we talked about before, what I like about music, a lot of what I like about music, or I guess love about music is what I love about language and what I love about the spoken word, but also about the written word.
Mm-hmm.
And its ability to convey emotion or thoughts or ideas. And I mean, like, words are important to me. Like, you know this about me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a word man. And it's because, like, thoughts are just like vying for attention inside my brain right now. But it's because like I don't think that it's insignificant that the universe was created using words. Like, God spoke.
Yeah.
And poof, things happened.
Yeah.
Like, that to me says that language is not frivolous, that words are not nothing.
Yeah.
You know, we treat them as nothing. But words with power behind them are, in my opinion, one of the most powerful things in this world.
Yeah.
Straight from, I mean, the mouth of God.
Yeah.
Like, he speaks, things happen.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
And so it's like that causation, that cause and effect relationship between words, it is just like I can, the ability, I guess this is where I was coming from earlier, even though it's so much more than just singing, but where I get it for me is with speaking language is the breath coming from inside your body and passing through your larynx, over your tongue and your teeth and out your lips.
Yeah.
That action means that a thought can be in my head, in my mind, and I can speak it, poof, into existence.
Yeah.
And it comes in your ears, and now you are sharing the thought that I had. It gives us the ability to share intangible, you know, everything.
Yeah.
That is incredible to me. And so, like, that's why I love language. I love the spoken word, and I love the written word, because the written word, man, you get people that died 200 years ago being able to speak intimately to me.
Yeah.
And they're dead. They're cold.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Yeah.
But they can talk about things
that
are just so basic to the human experience that I can tap into and just be like, man, I identify with this.
Yeah.
And my world is completely different from your world.
Yeah.
But I identify with what you said. And it's just that...
Through time.
That magic that happens in the transference of words and the transference of ideas and thoughts.
Dude.
It's incredible. I mean, I'm not a mystic, but it's just an amazing thing that God has created, that we have the ability to speak. We have language.
Yeah.
I think we take that for granted sometimes. And in the same way, music conveys emotion. It conveys thought.
Yeah.
And like we've talked about before, like major keys, minor keys make you feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's just like, ugh, it's so cool.
Man. Yeah. That's incredible too. Me and the, like we did talk about this specifically last time. But I've had a conversation with my friend Michael Dunbar about this very thing, like about how it's incredible, how we both think it's incredible that we can be affected on an emotional level by the compression waves we were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Just major and minor, you know, keys, like you're talking about, like the fact that I can go from a C major to an A minor and it's a minor fall, so it makes you feel kind of sad, like or just kind of like a sad kind of attitude towards the music.
Yeah.
Like with the music, I guess.
Melancholy.
Yeah, like melancholy. And it doesn't take lyrics. Like it's cool because in concert with lyrics you can it helps you to express a sad feeling.
It articulates what the music is conveying.
The sadness, yeah. Or vice versa. It's the music articulates what the words are saying, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean that's incredible. Like you can't have a sad song like perfect example. Pumped Up Kicks tune.
Yeah.
That's a horrible song.
Yeah.
I mean, it's great. Like, it's catchy, and it's all bubbly and happy. But it's about a kid bringing a gun to school.
Yeah.
Or killing someone. I don't know.
Better run, better run.
Yeah. Like, that's a perfect example of the music not matching the lyrics. Like, completely changing the attitude of the song because the music has that attitude.
Yeah.
It's just amazing to me how compression waves, how sound can go beyond content and make you feel a certain way. How compression waves can affect you on an emotional level. And a lot of people, like, we've already admitted that we are very large fans of Stuff You Should Know, and the podcast Stuff You Should Know, and the TV show, which I watched today. Then they've done a podcast on why music affects emotion. And I can't remember exactly what the conclusion they got to, but it's just the fact that people are...
Yeah, I kind of disagreed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can't remember what they said.
Well, it was all, like, you know, like evolution and stuff.
Oh.
Like, over time, we've accumulated these responses to certain sounds. It's a carryover from survival of the fittest and natural selection and all of that.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just bullcrap to me. I'm sorry.
And I can understand, like, I've also heard, like, we're affected emotionally by music because of, you know.
Now, that does make sense in a certain extent.
We've had experiences or something that...
Yeah.
Have, you know,
it's conditioning.
Yeah, like you remember it sparks a memory.
Like, we're trained from children that, you know, you play sad music with sad events, you know, and so the audio matches the visual or the experiential.
Yeah.
And therefore you hear those same notes and you think sadness, or, you know, happy ones, you think happy.
Yeah. Like, if you heard clown music whenever you went to a funeral for your whole life.
Yeah.
You would get sad.
You would get sad with clown music.
Yeah, with clown music.
Some people do anyway.
Yeah, so I get terrified.
But I think there's more to it than that, though.
I do, too.
Because you just know sometimes.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's... Okay, so sadness. That's a given. Like, that works. But, like, how do you explain inspiration? Like, inspirational music. Music.
Yeah.
Explosions in the Sky makes me want to paint and makes me want to do something creative. It inspires me
or
weep. Yeah. Like, it touches.
It's beautiful.
They figured out how to touch your reach into you and touch your emotions in a way no other band, I feel like, has ever, done.
Yeah.
And they don't have any lyrics.
I get lost listening to them. Wherever I am, if I'm in my car or at home or whatever, like, I'm
immersed.
Transcended
yeah.
to some other, wherever my imagination takes me.
Yeah. One of my guys on a ski trip, Cage, I turned him on to Explosions in the Sky. And one night, he had a little Bluetooth jam box mm-hmm. in our room. And he was like, "Hey, Ian, you want to, you know, put some Explosions in the Sky on while we go to bed?" And I was like, "Absolutely." And, like, so we did. Like, we listened to the whole album as we went to sleep.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. But, like, and it's not just sadness. Like, it's not, I mean, that is a big emotional thing that, I mean, that
you find in music.
And it's one of the easiest to communicate through music. But Explosions in the Sky, it's not just sadness. Like, it's, I don't know. It's sadness. It's joy. It's I don't know, creation. Like, it's inspiration. It's, I have no idea how they touch all these things with music.
Yeah.
You know, like, how do you write a song or make a tune or put together a chord progression that makes me think of flowers?
Yeah.
Without words.
Yeah.
It makes me think of growing, of a sunrise, of...
Yeah, like sunrise, just, sunset.
Yes.
You see clouds. You see this landscape. And you're just like, why do I think of these things?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think I've told you this before. Like, I was driving down the road one day. This was a couple years ago, probably about 3 years ago. And I was driving into the sunset. And I was listening to Explosions in the Sky.
Uh-huh.
And I just, like, was... carry to another place, and I was like, why does this make me think like this? Just this music matches what I'm experiencing perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, perfectly. And then I was like, what is this song called again? And I pulled it up, and it's The Birth and Death of a Day is the name of the song. And then they wrote that song for sunrise and sunset.
Gosh.
And I was just like, how did I know that before I knew the name of the song?
Yeah.
And you can try to psychoanalyze me all you want. Yeah. Bull crap. Like, they wrote that song and they knew what they were doing. And, like, it
communicated.
It
yeah.
Yeah, it communicated what they wanted it to communicate to me.
And the crazy part is I think it's a God thing, but, like, it's the crazy part is that it communicated what they wanted to communicate when they wanted to communicate it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it was perfect.
It was perfect. It's awesome.
Which is crazy.
So while we're on it, and since we're running pretty long, what are some of your favorite bands? First, I just got to say this.
Okay.
To those of you who don't know, Ian and I and Josh and Ryan and pretty much all of our close friends, we all grew up listening to Reliant K.
Yes.
So if you don't know who Reliant K is,
you must be living under a rock.
Yes. Or if you do know who they are and you don't really care for them, half this podcast is going to be absolutely meaningless to you.
Yes.
Not this episode, like the entire podcast.
Yeah.
No, seriously. We want you to listen.
Yeah.
But we love Reliant K very, very much.
Yeah. A lot. Matt Thiessen. A lot. The earlier stuff, it tends to be kind of goofy and everything. Yeah. Or Thiessen, sorry.
I can honestly say that they were a huge influence on my high school years.
Oh, yeah.
High school
for
and
sure,
early college.
Dude. Sadie Hawkins dance.
Yeah, man. Like,
that's my song.
Like, so many of their songs were perfectly suited for whatever I happened to be going through.
Yeah.
And not just on one occasion. Like, I'm talking about a span of like 4 years of personal growth.
So eight consequences.
I turn on their songs, and just deeply connect.
Up and up.
Yeah, man.
High 75.
Yeah.
I could keep going.
Even Deathbed to a certain extent.
Deathbed, yeah.
But yeah, I So Eight Consequences was my theme song for a very, very long time.
And the one that everybody knows, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just... It's
Mood
from,
Rings?
No, it's from that album. It's the biggest one. We played it at Youth once. Oh.
I can't remember. I've listened to that album so many times.
The chorus of it just has the one note on piano, like, going through the whole
thing. Be My Escape?
Be My Escape, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That tune was a big one for me.
Yeah. For me, it was Mood Rings. And
I hate
consequences and what was it
Who Poop. I Am Hates Who I've Been Who I've Been
well that one and crap what was it what did I lost it.
Sorry.
I just had it.
I love that song. That's a good one.
Oh, it's gone. I don't know what it was.
We should get jerseys.
There's that one.
Yeah.
That's mine and Desi's song.
Because you guys actually have jerseys. Because
I actually made jerseys for us on Valentine's Day one time. Long time ago.
Yeah. Such a sweetheart.
No. Shucks.
Yeah.
So who else do you like?
Dude, I'm a huge Children 18-3 fan.
Yeah.
I love that band.
Aren't they from Memphis?
No, they are from Ohio.
Oh, that figures. Really awesome people from Ohio. Like, everybody I've ever known from Ohio is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should go to Ohio.
I've been to Ohio. Gretchen's grandparents live in Ohio.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Is it cool?
Yeah. Sardinia. That's Ohio.
Sardinia?
Yeah, they live in Sardinia.
Hmm.
That's great. But I'm a big Children 18-3 fan. I like a lot of different kind of bands. Like, I'm not a genre specific dude. Like, I really don't like old school country. Not a big fan.
Yeah. I went through an old school country kick when I was like 14.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Hank Hank Williams and stuff like that, and Hank
a little
Jr.
bit, and Tennessee, Ernie Ford, some of that old stuff like 13 Tons.
Yeah,
you know, like old 13 Tons. No, 16 Tons. 16 Tons? 13?
Dude, I don't know.
Tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. Never mind. Shut up.
I really, this is, country is the only thing I really can't stand. I'm people are gonna hate me for saying this, but I even like some top 40 stuff, like Fun. I love
Fun. But I like Fun because they didn't start out top 40.
No, they were
kind of on different. Noise Trade.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that's not where they started out.
Yeah.
But I first heard them on Noise Trade. So what's cool to me is that they went up so quickly.
Yeah.
Like they actually got the recognition that they deserved.
And it's kind of funny because the top 40 stuff that I like now wasn't top 40 when I started liking it. Like Mumford and Sons, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And the Avett Brothers, which the Avett Brothers aren't really on top 40 anything.
Yeah.
Because they're still weird and kind of underground. But
to those of you who don't know, by the way, noisetrade.com is an awesome website.
It is.
Especially if you really like indie music. You'll find some incredibly talented people in Noise Trade that you'll never hear on the radio.
Yeah.
Because they're just too weird. But they're incredibly talented. And,
William Fitzsimmons. Yep.
Yeah. And the music's free. You can leave a tip if you want to, but the music is free and it's completely legal because the artists themselves have put it up there.
Put it on there, yeah.
As like a self-promotion thing.
Macklemore got his start doing that. He actually still is not signed to a label.
Really?
He's doing everything himself, which I respect a lot.
It's a good way to get recognition if you're in it for the music and not for the money.
Yeah.
It was started by Derek Webb.
Oh, yeah?
Of Caveman's Call.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Derek Webb started Noise Trade. It's his baby.
That's crazy.
That's why you'll see a buttload of Derek Webb stuff on there. Him and his wife.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah, noisetrade.com. Go check it out.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I like a lot of people will probably just rag on me for this because for some reason a lot of people just don't like them anymore. But I absolutely love Switchfoot.
Oh, man.
And I'm not just like a fanboy from back in the day. Like,
yeah.
The Beautiful Letdown was the only good one, and after that they sucked. Because that's a complete lie.
Yeah, it is.
Like, they are awesome up till the present day. Like,
they were good before then and after then.
Yeah, and after. I absolutely loved Vice Versus.
Oh, yeah.
And which is weird, because when I first heard it, I was a little skeptical. Yeah, I was like, this is different. But then I realized, you know what? Artists should be allowed room to grow. And just because I'm a fan doesn't mean I should be like, you have to stick to the kind of music that I'm used to.
Yeah. Or I'm not going to like you anymore.
Yeah.
So that they would go, I don't care.
And once I opened myself up to it, I was like, this is actually really, really good music.
Yeah.
John Foreman is a genius.
Yes, he is. Speaking of writers, geez, that man.
Yeah. And I read an interview with, I think it was like Christian Magazine or something. It was online. And it was interviewing maybe the bassist and the drummer, whichever two aren't John and Tim.
Tim's the bass player.
Tim's the bass?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is the guitarist and the drummer, I guess.
A really tall dude. Luke's kind of like Memphis.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how, like, John writes, I mean, this is like a lot of bands, but they only record, or they only select a small percentage of all the songs that they record to put on the album. Like, he said, though, I mean, John writes, like, hundreds upon hundreds of songs,
and
they'll record, like, a lot of them. Then if they don't make it to the final cut, he said they've got a hard drive floating around with a bunch of really great songs. But the thing is, like, John is always so progressive and just so moving forward, and they'll be like, John, why don't we revisit some of these we've got on the hard drive because they were awesome, and he's like, nah, man, that's old hat. Like, that's yesterday. And so he's constantly creating and great stuff.
I want to hear that hard drive.
I want to hear that hard drive. Because great stuff, he's just like, that's cool to me, though, because he's not like holding on to things that he's done in the past. He's just constantly creative.
Yeah.
And just like.
Which is nuts, man. That's crazy. Did you know that Darren Hillis, my father-in-law, at one point, I don't know the whole situation or how it happened or whatever, but he at one point played with the keyboard player of Switchfoot.
Really?
Yeah, like when he brought him. Yeah, when he brought him to the Delta Fair, he was over there talking to the keyboard player, and you know, the keyboard player remembers Gretchen, my wife, and like when she was a little girl. And I was like, come on, man, you can't get cooler. Come on.
Like, I'm her husband.
I was
with her.
Yeah, I was working security. Oh, so yeah. I couldn't leave my spot. So I had to just watch them all talking from
him
talking to some of the people I look up to the most, him and my wife talking, just hanging out with them. Yeah. I was like, come on.
Yeah.
But I got to meet him, so I didn't really care. I got to talk to him and Tim, so.
That's awesome.
They're really cool dudes. Very short.
Something I really like about John, too, is that, and like, I'm not putting anybody up on a pedestal, so don't think I am, because I know he's human.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's flawed. But, like, both times that I've seen him perform, he makes a point of making contact with the audience. And it's not like so that we get brownie points for making contact, or it's not a performance. Yeah. You can tell that he genuinely wants to connect with people. Like the first concert I saw him was at Minglewood.
Yeah.
And it was it was right before Hello Hurricane was released.
So it was still Gravity.
Yeah. It was still the O Gravity tour, and that actually it was me and Micah Holland, and we got to hear like two or three of the songs off the Hello Hurricane before like anybody else in the entire country.
Yeah,
because he was like, you know what, we're gonna play this for you guys, and nobody's ever heard this, so I've got it on my phone or on my computer like the first time the songs have ever been played for anybody.
Nice.
And it was also the smashing of the O Gravity guitar,
the death of O Gravity,
the death of O Gravity. Yeah. I watched him slam that thing on the stage of Minglewood. It was awesome. Anyway, but he would like come out, he would like shake hands with everybody, but it wasn't like, oh yeah, you get to touch me. It was like he made a point to shake the hand and he made eye contact.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, he stopped. It was, most of them just kind of like put their hand out there, let you touch me. He like would stop, and it was like 3 seconds per person staring him in the face, looking at the eye. Like human to human, soul to soul, like hi.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah, it's something I was gonna say is that because of working with Darren and when he was in charge of the Delta Fair and stuff, or when he was in charge of part of it, I've gotten to meet some cool people. A lot of really different people, but they in that world.
Yeah.
They were Tim and John, at least, I don't know about the rest of them, but they were some of the most genuine people I've met in that world.
Yeah.
When me and Ethan, I was with Ethan when I met him, and when we went up to him, and they were sitting on a curb after the show, and when we walked up to him to talk to him, they weren't like, oh gosh, like, people are keep talking to us, it's the show's over, you know, they didn't give any kind of attitude. And I feel kind of bad because I didn't think about it while we were doing it, because they were in the middle of talking, and I don't know if that was like serious or not, but we walked up to him and was like, hey man, that was a great show, you guys are such inspirations to us. And the entire time, from the second words came out of my mouth and they realized we were talking to them, they were looking me in the eye and giving me their attention, like,
yeah,
genuinely.
It wasn't like they were just kind of half listening.
And when we gave them compliments, it wasn't, oh yeah, thanks, you know, that's great, thanks, you know. It wasn't that, oh, we get it all the time,
yeah,
kind of thing. It was, thank you for appreciating what we do.
Yeah.
And that spoke volumes to me, man. Yeah. And I told him, I was like, you guys are a really big inspiration to me and my brother. We're both musicians and we aspire to, to reach where you are now. And you're a big inspiration to us, especially being Christians and everything. So we really look up to you guys and we want you to keep doing what you're doing. He was like, and they looked me in the eye and they didn't let me walk away until they looked me in the eye and say, well, thanks. We'll see you again. And I was like, that we'll see you again. I was like, they think I can do it. Yeah. You know, so
did you hear that, everybody?
They said that, you know, so, but I don't
or
know.
What's cool. Maybe they meant genuine. They'd see you in heaven. Cause that's,
whatever. I choose to believe the other one, but that's fine.
Well, either way though, that's awesome.
That is awesome. But yeah. And that was cool. And I guess I'm done, you know, showering them with praise. Yeah.
I really like House of Heroes. They're a cool band.
House of Heroes?
Yeah.
Not a huge House of Heroes fan. Listener.
Really?
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
I've heard they're good. You were wearing their shirt the last time we did this podcast.
Yeah, in honor of music podcast. Yes. But I guess.
Yeah. But.
We're probably running really long, aren't we?
Yeah, we can cut stuff.
Okay.
But another band that I really love. And then we can end it. But I mean, I can go on. There's a list. I'm going to feel bad because I'm going to forget bands. But Need to Breathe.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Need to Breathe. And we've been very mainstream so far. But they're, you know.
Yeah.
I can't get by without talking about Need to Breathe because they're one of my favorites.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
Not to be mainstream, a Noise Trade find that I absolutely love is The Collection.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And everywhere you go to their website, it's not just Noise Trade. They're not signed with anybody, I don't think. Or even if they are, like everywhere you go, their album, they only have one, but it's incredible.
Yeah.
But their album is free, completely free.
Oh,
it's just like,
perfect.
Give us whatever you want. Like you go to their website and it's like, pay whatever you feel like we deserve.
Like, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's got like 6 songs on the album, but each, they're incredible. It's, they're kind of indie folksy, and they've got about 20 members to the band, and it's like everything from like cello to all kinds of weird wind instruments and just like all these crazy cool stuff. It's awesome. They're great.
That's inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just want a group of guys that I have that with, you know, as a musician.
Yeah.
That's something I long for. And our band, like me and my brother and
Campbell in the Hills.
Yeah, a few other friends of ours. Josiah is one of them. He's the drummer, and his brother Luke, Mr. Seneca Jones.
Man Hands.
Eli. Yeah, Man Hands. Eli Sager, the bass player, and me and my brother make up that band. And that's the closest thing I've ever come to having that like connection.
Yeah,
on the stage or with a group of guys playing music that we're all passionate about, you know.
Yeah,
and when we don't always sound the best, and that's important when you're a band. But like, we don't always sound awesome. But one thing that we all have that a lot of bands don't have is the fact that we all have that connection. That common ground with music,
yeah,
that we all connect with, and when we're on stage and we're playing, and you know, we might mess up or something, but the fact is that we're up there and we all realize what's happening, like what we're a part of, and we all,
that's important,
absolutely lose our minds together on that stage, because it's one, it's incredible to be up there experiencing that with a bunch of other guys that you really care about. And two, we just have so much fun. It's so much fun playing with those guys. We grew up together. I will never not have fun playing with those guys. We could be playing for thousands of people, the best set we've ever played, or for 4 people, the, you know, worst or best set we've ever played.
Yeah.
I'm still
having a blast.
Yeah. I'm still going to have just as much fun.
That's awesome. That's cool.
So hopefully we get to play more and I'll be, get to be like, hey, my band is playing here, so come see yeah. us.
Just like I'm going to write that book and be like, hey, you can buy my book.
One day we'll get our act together.
Yep.
So.
Well.
There's more bands we could talk about.
Yeah, I could keep, I could go on forever.
August Burns Red and just.
Oh, man.
Didn't touch on that genre, but for today.
Day to remember, even though they're mainstream.
Yeah, you know, whatever you need to.
Gosh, man. So many.
So many, but we got to cut it off because my wife keeps texting me from the bedroom going, let's go to bed.
Yeah.
So.
What was I going to say? Oh, so I guess listener mail, you get that?
Yeah.
We have listener mail
and
from somebody that we don't know.
That, well, I can't. If I do know you, I'm very sorry.
Me too, actually. If I do know you, I'm sorry.
But we don't think we know you. Like, and that is that's awesome to us because you're the first person that to contact us that we don't know. That means, our message is getting out to more than just our friends.
Yeah.
So,
which is awesome to us.
Yeah. And we're going to read your email. Tony, should I say his whole name or her? I don't know if it's a dude or a girl.
Is it with a Y?
Yeah.
I think it's a man.
That's a dude.
Male.
Did I say his whole name?
Probably not.
Tony. Well, we're going to say Tony.
Hi, Tony.
He says, Ben, hey, Ben/Ian, I've heard all of your podcasts, and I think they were very entertaining and interesting. Entertaining.
Yes.
He said we were entertaining. But I think it would be a good idea to have, like, maybe some questions that you ask the viewers, but the questions can't be, like, one set answer because that takes the entire point away of having questions. Also, on a different note, which he didn't put a comma or a period there, but that's okay. On a different note, I think a good topic would be finding the will of God, or maybe how to love the people of this day and age. I know we're all humans and you guys can't get those 100% right, but I have faith in this podcast and in how God will use it. So I hope these topics help a little. You guys are great. Keep fighting the good fight. By the way, we're not going to read that part. That's okay. That last part is,
hey, no, 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 no. Read it.
BTW, Spider-Man totally owns Bat Brains.
Yes. Thank you, Tony.
Whatever.
I love you.
I think this podcast can and will be a huge hit. Thank you, Tony.
Tony, you're awesome.
Oh, we got a little cutout right there. But anyways, and we are going to take your advice. And I haven't discussed this
well, we didn't have to.
Yeah, with Ben yet. But Yeah. Honestly,
why
not?
I think we probably will address like how to find the will of God and stuff.
Yeah.
There's some really good tools out there and that's a good topic idea.
Yeah.
It's really practical.
Asking questions is brilliant.
I think
the question for this week is one, bands you think we've never heard of, let us know.
Yeah.
And we'll check them out and talk to you. And
what is it you love about music?
Yeah.
What is it you love about music?
Yeah. Oh, we're having some issues.
And your favorite bands.
Yeah. That's perfect.
Yeah.
So.
Or other topic ideas.
Yeah.
For
topic
episodes.
Ideas for future episodes. Hey, Ben, do we have a Twitter?
Yes, we do.
What is it?
@PoserPodcast.
Do we have an Instagram?
We do.
What is it?
@PoserPodcast.
Do we have a Facebook page?
We do.
What is it?
Facebook.com/PoserPodcast.
Can you like it?
You can like that page.
Can you comment stuff on it?
You can comment.
Can you
can share.
Can you ask questions and post pictures?
You can do all of the above, Ian.
And write good reviews and stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of reviews, If you get our podcast through iTunes, please go leave a review.
Yes,
and rate,
and
us.
Rate us, please. It helps us a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Because Carlos is still the only person that's commented.
Commented.
And left us a review.
And rated. And
I know it takes time, and I'm sorry.
Yes, but...
But if you'll just take a couple minutes and go on there.
We really want this to succeed, and that's a big part of it. So. Yeah.
We'd appreciate it. And also, do we have an email again?
We do, Ben.
What is it?
It's poserpodcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. And write us, like Tony did, because he's awesome.
We will read... your emails.
Yeah.
Someone who likes Batman, please email me.
Hey, okay, you've had a buttload of support this entire time.
I know. I should give you your Tony. All right, Tony. Kudos to you. At least you like comic book stuff. So.
Yeah.
At least you didn't go, you guys are nerds, stop talking about comic books.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Yeah. Ben, this is the last thing I'm going to say.
Say
and
it.
Then we can be done.
Spuds.
Guess what?
Chicken butt.
No.
What?
I got today.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got the first volume of the Justice League New 52 comic books.
Nice.
And I'm so excited.
Yeah. Like a kid in a candy store.
Anyways, Ben.
Yeah.
Don't stare at the potato.
Don't stare at the potato.
Don't do it.
No. Stop it.